Well, happy Advent. As I mentioned last week, there is nothing as meaningful to me this time of year than an Advent greeting, even more so than Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. Because an Advent greeting reminds us that we are waiting for Christmas, that there are things to come. And today, as we continue our celebration of all that Advent invites us to wait for, we do so as we reflect on the lights of the Advent candles. For today we bask in the light of the candle of hope, which we lit last week, as well as the candle of peace. We continue to add the candles as the light grows brighter this season, for our hope continues. It's a foundational part of this season. Our hope reminds us that the peace we speak of today is not just wishful thinking, but a promised and certain coming. And peace is certainly something we have hope in. But this season, with each week, with each expectation, with each awaiting moment, I would remind us to be careful about what we are expecting. Early in elementary school, I just started taking piano lessons. And we had a piano in our home, and I would play and I would practice, but being that it was the late 80s, the only thing I really wanted was a Casio keyboard. It would make all sorts of cool noises and have cool little tracks that played underneath it, and it came with a cool little songbook so I could play Little Brown Jug. I really, really wanted a Casio keyboard. In fact, it was the only thing I put on my Christmas list that year. What would you like from your grandma? A Casio keyboard. What would you like from your folks? A Casio keyboard. What would you like from Santa? A Casio keyboard. The only thing I said I wanted was that Casio keyboard. Now, Christmas morning, I came down the stairs knowing what I would expect, right? I mean, if you get the keyboard, it's sort of hard to miss. I expected to see that long box about that big by that big by that big sitting under the tree. I know what a Casio keyboard looks like, even if you wrap it in paper. So, I come running down the stairs, I look under the tree, and there's not a box any bigger than this. So I look behind the tree, maybe it's leaning against the wall. No big box behind the tree. I look around the room, expectantly. No big box in the room. So trying to continue to have a smile, I open some of the other presents and look through my stocking, and it's all very nice, and I'm very grateful for the sweaters and the new floss. I don't know, Santa brought floss every year. And towards the end of this time, you can see my folks are just sitting there, and I haven't said a thing, but everyone in the room knows how crestfallen I am. The base of the Christmas tree is a tiny box, no bigger than this, sitting right at the base of the tree. And my dad casually pulls it out and says, "Oh, there's one left here. It says it's for Brad." Okay, great. Maybe it's toothpaste. I don't know. So I get the little box and I open it up. And Ivan, you'll appreciate this. It's the power adapter to a Casio keyboard. The keyboard has been hidden away. They knew I would know, so they put the power adapter under the tree. This was one of my first... Yes, we need a new power adapter for yours. That's why I thought you'd really appreciate that. This was one of my first lessons in setting expectations and knowing what something is going to be and knowing what it'll look like when it arrives and knowing, well, all the things I thought I knew. You see, the story for me poses what I would call a Christmas present problem. Well, it's a problem with Christmas presents, but it's also been a Christmas problem from the very beginning all the way through the present. We as people get into our heads a certain understanding of what we believe God will be giving us in that manger. They have since the beginning. And then when it doesn't show up under the tree or in the manger, like we think it will, when it doesn't show up exactly the way we think it should look, we risk missing the gift. This is something you can see over and over in the scriptures that everyone believed foretold exactly how Jesus would arrive. We hear the sharing in Jeremiah, for example, in the 33rd chapter. "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill my gracious promise with the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous branch from David's line who will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is what he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness." Wow. Jeremiah set that bar pretty high. Jeremiah knew exactly what that box should look like when it showed up. And to a people who were suffering oppression and living in exile, the prophet speaks of one who would come and fix all of that. You know, peace. No more people attacking the city walls. No more people carrying off loved ones to foreign lands. No more having to hide. No more having to worry. You know, peace. Someone who would overthrow oppressors. Someone who would save God's people. Someone who would be the righteousness of God. You know, peace. They knew exactly what they were looking for. And I don't know if they were going to find it if it looked just like that. They wanted peace on earth, and they knew what it would look like right when it arrived. And then people started to say, "It's come." And they looked and they said, "No, it doesn't look like what I thought it would look like. There's still problems. There's still oppression. There's still trouble. We wanted peace. We wanted peace." And when they didn't see it, they were disappointed. They were frustrated. And they were let down. It actually reminds me of an old Christmas tune that has become a new favorite of mine. I am a Christmas music fiend. I listen to Christmas music for months, mainly because I spend so much of December working. It's an occupational hazard that I like to get started a little bit early when Christmas can just be about enjoying it and not doing any work around it. I have an iPod that rivals Cozy 101 for the number of Christmas songs contained inside of it. But the thing about my iPod is it contains mostly recent tunes. You know, the newer, happy ones. But recently, we got a jukebox as a gift. And so I've spent a lot of time sitting in the record shops of Denver flipping through old 45s. Christmas tunes are especially hard to find in those collections, and every once in a while I would find one. I'd always set them aside because I love the Christmas music and I love the old vinyl sound. And, well, I came across one day that was a recording of Bing Crosby singing "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." The song is a musical setting of a poem that was written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And I put it in the jukebox, and the first time it came on, I was taken aback by the power of the lyrics. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought as how the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rung so long the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bow my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. "God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." The song had something in it I wasn't used to hearing in all the little bubblegum pop tunes that talked about "all I want for Christmas is you." The tunes that talk about, oh, the packages and the sleighs coming down the roads. The song captured in a very modern setting something that's so real. Something that carries an honesty in it. Because there are certainly times when hate is strong. And peace on earth often is mocked as a fairy tale. And our own lives and our own experiences feel so bumpy and troubled that we begin to question peace. We begin to question the gift of Christmas. I mean, and if that's all true, if all those things are going on in life, why do we sit here and light a candle that celebrates peace? Well, because we've been promised peace. It's not just a want or a wish that may or may not happen. Peace comes to us at Christmas. The question is not, will it? The question isn't, when will it? The question is, how will peace arrive at Christmas? You know, one of my absolute favorite quotes about peace actually comes from a children's book with the author unattributed. And it says that peace is not the absence of storms in our lives, but our ability to get through them. In fact, it reminded me of a line from Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, the tune that inspired our Advent theme. Because in the midst of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is that line that from now on our troubles will be out of sight. The line to me is an insight into the peace of Christmas. Where some people in a very, you know, optimistic way might think it means they'll be out of sight because they're going to be so far gone we can't see them anymore. But I hear those words meaning something a little different. That perhaps our troubles will be out of sight because we have something better on which to look and focus because of Christmas. I mean, I think about it. If the gift of Christmas is here, and my troubles are here, and I choose to look at the gift of Christmas, well, then my troubles are out of sight. But one does need to acknowledge that this doesn't actually get rid of any problems. It just means we're not looking at them. Humanity has tried again and again to use denial as a method of changing our circumstances. Anyone else out there giving that a shot? It doesn't seem to work. And yet there is something to this whole our troubles will be out of sight thing. Because what can occur is that if we choose to look at the manger in Bethlehem, if we choose to look deeply into that gift of Christmas, it will change the way we see everything else in life. You know, one of the new ways we will see is with a better view of what the world can be. There is a peace that can come from knowing that in the midst of the harsh realities of life, or in the case of our Christmas story, an unplanned journey, no room in the inn, sleeping in a stable, a baby born in the cold middle of the night. You see, in the midst of the frustrations and shortcomings of life, God still brings forth new life into that silent night. And when we turn from that picture to look at the shortcomings and frustrations of our own lives, there can be a peace in knowing that God has done more with less. And that there is potential in our lives. You know, another new way we can see if we will focus on that gift in the manger and then look back to our lives is that when we look at that baby boy in the manger, when we can look upon the divine in human form, we can see that God is present with us. And not just in some sort of metaphorical or philosophical sense, that God has been with us in a real, concrete, flesh and bone kind of way. And then when our troubles come back into sight, we can see them as something that we don't have to handle alone. Because we are blessed by a God who chooses to be with us. This presence, this Emmanuel, God with us, is the resolution that appears in Longfellow's poem. The despair of hate and wrong in the world is overcome by the peace of knowing that God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. Those are important things to be reminded of. For when the year gets long, when the weeks get hard, and the days get troublesome, Christmas comes along to remind us that God is alive and present in our lives at Christmas and every day. Advent and the hope and peace that it comes with is a reminder that God is alive and active in the world. And we can claim a peace that comes from God's presence with us as we work through whatever troubles and tough times life brings. Because that's what peace is. The ability to get through the tough times. So this is my Christmas hope for peace on earth. That we might look to the light of the manger, and hold it in our hearts long enough that our troubles may be out of sight long enough that when they do come back into view, as they will, that we will see them in a new light, knowing that God is with us, and with God all things are possible. That is the blessing of the manger. That is the peace of this season. And that's the old familiar carol that can play, but wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth and goodwill toward all. Amen.